One of the places where this research is unfolding is at Princeton University, a project called the Boundary Institute and the Global Consciousness Project at Princeton University. One of the things that the researchers back in the late 1990s at Princeton discovered is that consciousness appears to be part of this greater field, and that consciousness is such a real, tangible form of energy. It's not just this nebulous stuff that we can kind of talk about but never really do anything with. They discovered that certain kinds of electronics respond to changes in consciousness. Let me say that again. The field of consciousness appears to be so real and so tangible that the researchers at Princeton University discovered that certain kinds of electronic functions and electronic devices respond. They change when consciousness changes. To use this technology, what they did was they designed 40 little devices that were called EGGS, E-G-G-S, that were designed to respond to changes in mass human consciousness, and they planted these devices all over the world, different continents. Each one of these devices has a signal that feeds back into one computer at Princeton University, into a server computer at Princeton University. And the thinking was they wanted to install all of these devices before the millennium celebrations in the year 2000. Because if we were ever going to measure changes in mass consciousness, what better time to do it than the day and the moment when that dateline sweeps across the face of the earth in celebration of the new millennium and consciousness is united in that celebration. So 1998. They installed all of these devices. They began working. They're in place today. They're in place this very moment. The devices were there through the millennium. They worked like a charm, and they were there during September 11th, 2001. And I'm going to use this as an example to share with you what this field may be saying to us. Because what happened was these devices began detecting a wild fluctuation, very anomalous, in human consciousness at least a day and a half before the events of 9/11 ever unfolded. Here's a direct quote from the study, and if you'd like to find more about this, there is a website, www.boundaryinstitute.org. You can actually see these devices working real time as they report fluctuations in consciousness on a global level. Well, the report said after 9/11, this is a direct quote, it said that the devices detected a significant deviation several hours before the events in New York and Washington ever occurred. And when you look at the charts, what you find is a graph of human consciousness. On the lower portion of the graph, it describes consciousness as we go about our daily functions. We're going to school, we're going to work, we're going to the mall, we're shopping, sleeping, studying, all the things that we do. All through early September, September 7th, 8th, 9th, about midway through the day on the 10th, something happened. And consciousness began to fluctuate. And the readings increased dramatically on the graph, although nothing has happened yet, at least the world is aware of on the level of 9/11. About halfway through the 10th, all the way through 9/11, it just goes off the chart and then settles back down to lower levels on the 12th and the 13th. And the question is, what was being measured? It's almost as if on some level, in some way, the field of consciousness that connects all of us, that portion of the greater field, the field knew somehow it detected a change in mass human consciousness before that something was ever manifest as the event of the day. So I'm using this as a very graphic example so that you can know that when we are feeling those feelings in our bodies, as individuals or as groups, that there is something out there that's being affected. I had the opportunity with other authors in the late 1990s and early in 2000 to actually conduct experiments using this field in mass prayer. We would instruct on the internet, we would leave instructions for an ancient modality of prayer that has no words. It's a prayer based in feeling. and how to use feeling-based prayer, how to feel the feelings of gratitude and appreciation for the peace that already exists in our world, and how to simultaneously bring hundreds of thousands of people together in those feelings of gratitude and appreciation in a moment in time. And when we would do that, coordinated by the World Wide Web, Princeton University picked up blips in their Global Consciousness Project, showing that there was an effect. So while we may not fully understand what that effect was or how it worked, we know that there's a correlation that certainly deserves further investigation. So the key to all this, the key to the power of the field around us, the mind of God, nature's mind, the quantum hologram, the key is that it is what we call a holographic field. And of all the things that holograms mean to so many different people, the reason it's important right here is because the field is holographic. It means little changes in our beliefs can be mirrored throughout the whole with very little effort. Little changes in the way we think of ourselves, our relationship to one another, our relationship to our family, our world, to a higher presence. Little changes in the way we interpret the 6 o'clock news or the way that we feel about conflict in our lives. It's mirrored through this field throughout the whole. And in this way, each of us do, in fact, play a very, very key, powerfully significant role in what's happening in our world. Experiments, scientific experiments, actually support this relationship. The experiments show that, for example, that when stress or tension is relieved within a group, in a room or in a building, that the effects of that relief are registered beyond the walls of that building into the lives of people in the city surrounding that area, beyond the immediate group. 1972, 24 cities in the United States, each one of them had populations over 10,000 people. They experienced what were called statistically measurable reductions in crime when as few as 100 out of every 10,000 people participated. And these were some of the very well-documented TM experiments, and other experiments have been done since then that are showing us when we can find that place of peace in our hearts, in our bodies, in our thoughts, feelings, and emotions, when we can create that within us, that the effects are carried beyond us. Well, this information, these studies, gave us such a foundation to understand how this principle works that it was actually applied in a real-time experiment for peace in the Middle East during the Lebanese-Israeli War in the early 1980s. The statistics show that a threshold number of people in a given population, when they feel very specific feelings of peace in their hearts and their thoughts, feelings, and emotions, that they can actually trigger peace in their outer world by sharing those experiences during a common period of time. One of the studies, very famous study, it was called the International Peace Project in the Middle East. It was published in the Journal of Conflict Resolution, volume 32, number 4, December of 1988, on page 778. It was entitled The International Peace Project in the Middle East, conducted by Orm Johnson, Alexander Davies, Chandler, and Larimore. And what happened during this experiment was that a certain number of people were trained to feel the feelings of peace and strategically located throughout the hotspots at that time during the Lebanese-Israeli War. And during the time that the people were participating, what was called the window, that the participants were involved, what happened was that the crimes against people declined. Traffic accidents declined. Emergency hospital room visits declined. Terrorist activities dropped to zero. And when the people stopped doing what they were doing, all these statistics reversed. And just to make sure this wasn't a fluke, they tried this at different times of the month, different times of day, to make sure it wasn't linked to lunar cycles or to some holiday or maybe more police or law enforcement on the street. Statistically, measurable changes occurred when a relatively small number of people were simply feeling differently about their relationship to the world. And that number now, the statistics were so precise that there is actually a number that can predict how many people it takes to bring about this kind of change. And the number may surprise you. So let me give you the very simple formula, and then I'll share with you what that number means.